It's 11:45 a.m. Eastern Wartime. This is WEAF, NBC in New York.
The National Broadcasting Company interrupts this program to bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, government shortwave monitors in Washington report that no Japanese broadcast since 9:35 this morning Eastern wartime has repeated the surrender offer made earlier. The Japs have also failed to inform their own people of the offer, although government officials are becoming less belligerent. Monitors report that the Tokyo transmitters are having trouble with frequent breaks in transmission. Keep tuned to your NBC station for later news.
Once again, we present David Harum, one of the most beloved stories of American fiction. For David Harum is America. It's the story of every one of us, of our search for love, for happiness, and the good way of life. Ladies, today you can come out of the kitchen quicker and save money, too, by cleaning with gentle grease-dissolving Babbo. I promise you this because Babbo is different from any ordinary lazy cleansers, different from the cleanser, for instance, you may be using right now. You see, 90% of scouring is caused by grease, and Babbo was specifically created to dissolve grease. With grease dissolved, the dirt and stains wipe gently off. You clean so quickly that actual surveys made by over 1,000 housewives show Babbo can save up to 1/2 hour each day. And because Babbo is so fast, you can use less of it, only half as much. This means you save real money. You owe it to yourself to try this faster, economical way that has already revolutionized the cleaning habits of over 3 million women. Today, ask your grocer for Babbo, spelled B-A-B-O. And now, David Harum. Darkness is tight around Jonathan Blake's house. The house where Jenny Gray now knows she has been a virtual prisoner since her accident. Tonight, as quickly as she could move, she got to the telephone and called Aunt Polly. Jenny's voice betrays her fear.
Aunt Polly, when I had my daughter call David and ask him to come out tonight to get us, I didn't know Jonathan Blake had men guarding the house. Oh, Aunt Polly, I'm afraid. If David should get past the men outside, they'll never let him in. It's too late for you to stop David if he's left there. I'll have to do something to stop him. I'll turn on every light in the house here, and then I'll go to the front door. Maybe if I scream loud enough, David will hear me. Well, if it doesn't, he ought to attract the guards anyway. Aunt Polly, there's somebody in this room. I can't see a thing. It's dark, but the soda. Who is it? Answer me, who is it? Grace.
Put that phone down.
Grace,
Put that phone down. You got out of bed, Miss Gray. You weren't supposed to.
Well, I had to talk to somebody.
You called for help, didn't you? You called somebody you want to take you out of this house. This beautiful house that you should live in. I've done everything for you. Mr. Blake loves you and he'll marry you. And I've done everything I could to show you you ought to live here. But you lied to me.
Oh, I didn't lie to you.
You cheated me out of the most wonderful thing in my life. You married Mr. Blake and the three of us living in this beautiful house. You would have been like my own daughter. And you cheated me. I shouldn't have trusted you.
I shouldn't have trusted you, Grace. You know I love Ralph Prescott. I told you time after time that Mr. Blake was nothing to me and that he never could be.
They sent you to us. Do you think I'll let you leave here?
You might as well, Grace. Aunt Polly told me that...
Aunt Polly, you telephoned Mrs. Benson, didn't you?
Yes. I called Mrs. Benson. She told me that Ralph has tried to see me. He left our engagement ring here for me. I never knew of that either. You might as well let me leave, Grace. Ralph loves me and that's all in the world that matters to me. Jonathan doesn't even exist for me.
You'll marry Mr. Blake.
I will not.
Yes, you will. You can't take this away from me.
My daughter's upstairs, Grace. Will you bring her down here, please?
Why?
Because we're going home.
How do you think you'll get there, Miss Grace? You can't walk, and nobody's going to drive you.
Somebody is going to drive me.
Not Mrs. Benson. Not Ralph Prescott or David Harum. Nobody can get to the house. You're as safe here as you would be in the highest tower in the loneliest spot on Earth.
Safe?
Safe with Mr. Blake and me. We'll take care of you. We'll be happy. Don't you worry, Miss Grace. I told you there were men outside.
Oh, my heavens.
They'll protect us. They've got orders to stop anybody who tries to get near us. They think it's because Mr. Blake keeps a lot of money on hand.
He does.
But that isn't it. We know that, don't we,
Grace? Those men outside. Call them in, please. I want to talk to them.
You've got to go back to bed.
No, Grace.
Mr. Blake will be angry with me for not... watching you better. For not taking better care of you. Come on. You go back to bed.
Don't touch me.
Why?
Oh.
Why, you pulled away as if you hated me.
Oh, Grace, please.
Do you hate me? Your own mother?
Oh, don't do that, Grace. Don't talk like that.
And all the time I thought you liked this beautiful house. Look at the drapes. That thread that runs through them. It's real gold. Gold, the same as the highlight in your hair. You're so right for this. So perfect. But you hate me.
Oh, Grace, I don't hate you. I'm sick and I'm frightened and I want to go home. I want to see the people I love and I want to marry Ralph.
No. You're safe from him here.
Stay away, Grace.
I'll help you back upstairs. There's no sense in waiting for Mr. Prescott. He'll never get in.
I'm not waiting for Mr. Prescott.
If he should try to get in here, these men will stop him. They've got guns. And he'd be trespassing.
David. Grace. If I got back upstairs, will you do something?
What?
David Harum is on his way here. He may be here now. He and Mrs. Wells both.
Did you call him?
Penelope did. I asked her to.
And they may be here now?
Yes. Grace, they're my friends.
I'm your friend.
Yes, I know that. So you'll tell those men to leave them alone, won't you?
No.
You've got to.
They'll get just what they deserve for trying to cheat me.
Well, I'll do it myself. I'll tell them myself.
Sit down, Miss Grace.
Let go of me, Grace. Let go.
I'm not very large, but I'm strong. Strong enough to keep you from moving an inch.
Oh, I've got to warn David.
You won't warn anybody. Let them get what they deserve. You'll sit here and listen. I know what's best for you, and I've got to teach you that.
Grace, let go of me.
You're like my own daughter. And you hate me so much you don't trust me. Well, I'll have to show you, Miss Grace. You belong here, and you won't ever leave this house. I'll have to use Mr. Harum to prove that to you.
Meanwhile, David and Susan Wells have parked their car in the shadows and started toward Jonathan Tower. They're walking carefully, every nerve on edge. And now as they reach an open strip of lawn, Susan grabs David's arm.
David, look out. There's a man by that hedge.
Where, Susan?
Over there. Do you see him?
Oh, my golly, yes. And he sees us. Quick, duck behind that tree. He's got a gun.
A gun?
Well, something flashed in the moonlight. Doggone it, I knew I should have made you stay in the car.
Oh, David.
Why don't you run for it? Maybe you could get away.
Yes, gazelling through the trees in the pitch darkness. I'd break my neck.
Here he comes, Susan. I can hear him.
What do we do, David? Is it Jonathan?
No. This is a great big fella. He looks like a moose.
We can't fight with him.
Well, if there's any fighting, you run.
Max, is that you?
What'd he say?
Max, is that you?
Oh, then there's two of them at least.
Hey, Max, where are you?
Oh, my heavens.
Gosh, I wish I had something heavy in my hand.
Maybe I can find a rock.
Don't you stir, Susan. He might shoot at you.
About my shoe?
Your shoe?
Yes.
He sounds as if he's got a hard head. You're like a mosquito stinging a rhinoceros. Oh, great jumping Caesar.
Who's behind that tree?
He spotted us.
You better answer me. This 45 goes off real easy.
45, David. That bad?
It ain't a pea shooter, I can tell you that.
Hey, Max, is that you? Listen, I got orders to ask questions after I shoot. Is that how you want it?
Hello?
Max?
Sure, it's Max.
David.
What are you doing there?
Blake told us to cover the grounds, didn't he?
You don't sound like Max. Stand still, buddy. Let me get a look at you.
Got a flashlight, David?
I'll step out, Susan. You keep behind the tree.
All right. You win.
What? Hey, you ain't Max.
No.
David Harum.
Ooh, you know me, do you?
You was pointed out to me, Harum, when you was walking down the street one day. Somebody says, there's David Harum. He might give us trouble, so watch him. If he comes around the house, use your own judgment. With me, that means use my .45.
Jonathan Blake thinks of everything, don't he?
He don't miss much, and neither do I. Especially when a guy's standing this close.
You're making a mistake.
Oh, yeah?
You'll never get away with it.
Let me worry about that. Okay, Harum. This is it.
Oh. Is it David?
You bet! Gosh, that's great guns.
Is he unconscious?
That's a very pretty way of saying it, Susan. What'd you hit him with?
This stone I found by the tree.
Well, thank you very much. Let me get this fella's revolver.
Oh, these men aren't fooling David, and there's still Max. He's around somewhere.
Yeah, and we'll have to find him before he finds us. Confound it, Susan. I got no business letting you stay, but you certainly come in handy.
I'm ready, David, and I'm mad. Let's find Max.
More cautiously than ever, David and Susan start moving. They're both angry, but under their anger is the knowledge that they're playing for very high stakes. Every woman owes it to her reputation as a good housekeeper to know these facts. Today and every day, you can clean thoroughly, safely, and still finish as much as 1/2 hour sooner. Simply switch to the grease-dissolving cleaner, Babo, spelled B-A-B-O. Now, ladies, here's why we can make this amazing statement. We asked over 1,000 women to test Babo right in their own homes, comparing its cleaning speed with that of other cleansers. They reported that Babo was fastest on every job tackled. For instance, these women saved, on the average, 3 minutes just in cleaning a bathtub with Babo. They also reported equally remarkable time savings in cleaning pots and pans, kitchen sinks, gas stoves, wash basins, and refrigerators. And here's the reason for Babo's amazingly fast action. Today, 90% of your scouring is caused by grease. Unlike ordinary lazy cleansers with little or no action of their own, Babo was specifically created to dissolve grease. With grease gone, dirt and stains wipe gently away. No needless hard scouring on your precious enamel, porcelain, or aluminum. It's safe, thorough, and fast. You're through in record time. Incidentally, when you wash dishes, sprinkle a little Babo in your dishwater before you add the soap. Because it dissolves grease, Babo makes dishes wash easier and faster. Glassware and china fairly dry themselves and sparkle brighter. Today, get Babo in the famous green can with the big white letters, B-A-B-O. David Harum will be on the air at the same time Monday, 11:45 a.m. Eastern Wartime. Ford Bond, speaking for B.T. Babbitt Incorporated, makers of the grease-dissolving cleaner, Babo. Now, all of you hog raisers helping supply America with fine pork, accept this free offer. Write today for a new 48-page book on farm sanitation. It gives practical, low-cost methods for sanitizing yards and pens. Includes methods that can help make your hogs grow sturdier, heavier, so you'll market more pounds of pork. Write for your copy today. Address Lycons, L-Y-C-O-N-S, care of this station. Ask for free Lycons farm book.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.